It's the dictionary.
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 Hello, word nerds. Hello, word nerds. Hello, 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 word nerds. My name is Spencer, and welcome to my podcast called The Dictionary. It's an audio podcast. It's also a YouTube show, so if you want to see the things that are happening with myself, then you should go to the YouTube and watch it. Anything? Oh, this is F19. Welcome to F19. The first word in this episode is fall off. One word, F-A-L-L-O-F-F. Noun from 1880. This is a decline, especially in quantity or quality, as in a fall off in exports, also as in a fall off of light intensity. There is a scientific rule that says something like, as light intensity, it's like every foot away from the source of the light, the intensity diminishes. I think it's called the inverse square law. It diminishes by the inverse. It's like if it's four, you know what? I'm just going to put a link in the show notes because it's too hard to describe it. I remember seeing charts of like, if it's four times bigger, then it's 1/4 or 1/4 squared intensity. It's like an exponential decline in light intensity. Fall off, that's what it is. The fall off of the light. Cinematographers and lighting people, they know all about this stuff. I only know a little bit. There's no fall off of quantity of my podcast because there's no decline. But is there a fall off of quality? Probably, but I hope not. It's just the same crappy podcast. Okay, the sound effect today is going to be eh. The next word is fall off. Two words. Intransitive verb from 1613. Number one is the number 1B definition for the word trend. What's the trend? Now, fall off makes me think of that this is a trend going down. So maybe the 1B definition for trend is a trend downwards, possibly. Number two is talking about a ship. The fall off of a ship is what? It is. To deviate to leeward of the point to which the bow was directed. And didn't we just see the word leeward recently? I don't remember what that was. Oh, I remember. Leeward, this wasn't in relation to the dictionary, I think. This was why I was reading up on drone flight pilot certification. I'm doing that at work. I'm going to get certified, hopefully, to fly one of those little drones. So leeward is if there's wind coming towards a mountain, and then there's the mountain, leeward is the other side, not the side that the weather and stuff is happening on. It's the other side. So fall off is to deviate to leeward towards the side that doesn't have the weather, I guess, of the point to which the bow was directed, the fall off. So I guess if your boat and you got weather on your right side and then you want to go to the fall off side or something, I don't know, it's something like that. Next is fallopian tube, F-A-L-L-O-P-I-A-N. That's the first word. The second word is a tube, like an inner tube, a straw tube, a fallopian tube. Ooh, that would be a good word to figure out backwards. Fallopian naiwolaf. Fallopian. I think that might be close enough. Noun. The F is often capitalized, by the way, probably in relation to the etymology, which we'll get to. So this is from circa 1696. That's when we named it. Fallopian tubes have existed for many, many, many years, hundreds, if not thousands, if not, oh, I don't know, possibly billions, millions and billions of years. Okay, this is either of the pair of tubes that carry the egg from the ovary to the uterus. And if you don't know the uterine system, the uterus is this, I think it's like a sort of a fist-sized thing in the body of someone who was born a woman, although that there's, you know, that's a generalization. And then there are these tubes that go off, one to the left and one to the right, and at the end of the tubes is where the eggs live. They live in these, they're the ovaries, that's where all the eggs are, and they all exist from the time the baby is created. They're just there. It's not making more. That's why menopause happens. So anyway, when the one egg is ready to go down the tube, okay, here we go. Let's go for a ride down the fallopian tube. Whee! That's where they go, down to the uterus. And then either it gets turned into a baby, to put it very simply, or it doesn't. And then that's when the monthly menses happen. Okay, why am I mansplaining? Now, I'm not man. I just happen to be a man who's talking about this because it's my show and I can talk about whatever I want to talk about. And I just happen to be talking about the fallopian tube. Sometimes, I don't remember what word it was. Maybe it was in the E's. Sometimes the egg gets stuck in the fallopian tube. And that's not great, especially if it gets turned into a baby. And I can't think of the right term for that. It's not inseminated. It's fertilized. That's the word. That's a word we'll be getting to later in the Fs. If the egg is stuck in the fallopian tube and it gets fertilized, that is not a good pregnancy to have, and it might need to be terminated. And I can't think of the word that it was. It must have been in the E's. Okay, that's enough. No, it's not enough for fallopian tube. No. We have more to say. What we have to say is the etymology. This is from Gabriel or Gabrielle. Don't know how to pronounce their name. Their last name is Fallopius. They were an Italian anatomist. So they studied the anatomy. And they died in 1562. Gabriel Fallopius. Named the fallopian tube. Okay, great. Here is fallout, one word. This one is a noun from 1949. Maybe this has to do with radioactive fallout. Number 1A, yes. The often radioactive particles stirred up by or resulting from a nuclear explosion and descending through the atmosphere. Also, other polluting particles descending likewise, descending in a similar fashion to the nuclear particles. And examples of those polluting particles that are not radioactive would be volcanic ash. And I remember this so well when I was stuck in London when the Icelandic volcano erupted. And there was a lot of fallout of ash. No, we didn't see it. It was just tiny little particles. And so they said, no planes are flying now because they might get messed up. Yes, often the nuclear. And of course, 1949, just a little bit before that was when there was the nuclear bomb testing and then the nuclear bomb explosions in Japan. And then they were like, we need a name for all of this radiation, these particles that are flying around, messing up everybody's health. We're going to call it fallout. 1B. Descent, as of fallout, through the atmosphere. And that's the end of the sentence. Descent through the atmosphere. And I guess it's talking probably about the nuclear particles. The name of something falling through the atmosphere is fallout, and the stuff is fallout. Okay, number 2, a secondary and often lingering effect, result, or set of consequences. As in the example, this is a quote, have to take a position and accept the political fallout. And that is from Andy Logan. So what you take a political position and there are going to be some results. There, it's going to trickle down and have some sort of effect in some way. And that is the fallout. Secondary and often lingering effect, result, or set of consequences. There may be consequences. If you are a political person and you make a decision, there will probably be some consequences. You have to make a smart decision. What sort of consequences are you willing to deal with? What fallout is acceptable and necessary? Good thing I don't have to make those decisions. The next word is fallout, two words. And just a reminder, in the previous episode, previously on the dictionary, we had falling out, which was an instance of falling out. The synonym was quarrel. So let's come back now to modern day. Fallout, intransitive verb from the 15th century. Number one, the synonym again is quarrel, or maybe some people like to say quarrel. But also, to cut off relations over a quarrel. So you had a quarrel, and you are cutting off your relationship with the person or the people that you had the quarrel with. And so that is a fallout. That's the action of falling out. As in, former friends who have fallen out. They have their relationship fell through the floor. Number two, synonyms are turnout and happen, as in expected to be in the States, but things fell out otherwise. And that's a quote from Mark Twain. I don't know what context Mark Twain was, where this was. Was it in a book or a letter or a something? Expected to be in the States, but things fell out otherwise. They turned out in a different way than what they were expecting. Just happened to go another route. Not what they were expecting. Mark Twain was not expecting to go a different route than be in the States. That's it. Okay, 3A. Nothing else for number two. 3A. To leave one's place in the ranks. To leave one's place. So does that mean that maybe military, if you're in the ranks, you have your specific rank, but then you leave that rank? Did you fall out? Or is this, I think this is what it is, because I hear them say, fall out. They're in their ranks. They're in their lines. Horizontal, vertical, not vertical, but they're in their lines. And then when they exit those very pristine lines, that's when they are falling out. They say, okay, everybody, fall out and go to sleep. And then they leave their ranks. Why do you use the same word for different things? Their ranks are the lines, I think, but then their ranks are also their rank, like private and general and captain and stuff. Number 3B. To leave a building in order to take one's place in military formation. Oh, so maybe it goes both ways? If they leave the lines or they get into the lines, is that fallout? Are they both fallout? I guess, maybe? They're eating lunch, and then they say, all right, everybody, fall out. Fall out. Let's get into the ranks. We're done with the ranks. Let's fall out. Let's go to sleep. I guess, maybe. I don't know. Next word is fallow. F-A-L-L-O-W. First form, adjective from before the 12th century. The fa-la-la-la-la-la-low. This is of a light yellowish-brown color. Ugh. Fallow, yeah. This makes me think of something that's kind of sick, kind of gross, kind of old, kind of meh. A yellowish-brown. A light yellowish-brown. Maybe the pages in that big dictionary behind this thing here, those would be fallow, kind of. This word is from, let's see, Old High German, fallow, F-A-L-O, which means pale or fallow. From the Latin, palere, which means to be pale. From the Greek, polios, which means gray. I wonder if that's related to the polio disease. Would, like, your skin get gray if you had polio? I don't know. So yeah, it's just pale and light and blech, blech, fallow. And if you were paying attention, you heard me say that that was the first form. Well, here is the second form of fallow, noun from before the 12th century. Number one is usually cultivated land that is allowed to lie idle during the growing season. So there's must be some reason why farmers, agriculturists, I don't know if that's a word, agriculturalists, sometimes I think you want to let the land not grow anything for a season so it can sort of get replenished. Maybe that's what this is, the fallow land. It's cultivated, but it's not doing anything. It's just sitting there hanging out, watching all the other stuff grow, and it's like, well, I don't get to grow anything this season. Why don't I get to grow anything? Well, that's because you need to be replenished. Your dirt, your soil, we've been using you up, so you need to get back on your feet. Get your bedridden. Your land is fallow, so you're bedridden. You look sickly with that yellowish brown color. Number two is obsolete, and it is plowed land. So that seems like that's where it came from. The plowed land was fallow, and then it turned into land that's not growing stuff. Number three, the state or period of being fallow. Now, are we talking about the land here or something else? Or a person? I don't know. Number four, the tilling of land without sowing it for a season. The tilling of land without sowing it for a season. So you till it? I don't know. Is that what is that exactly? But you don't sow it. So you're not putting in seeds, but maybe you mixed up the soil. Yeah, I didn't do the farming school. I'm not sure about this. It's the fallow land. Now, is there any additional etymology for this one? Yes, but I don't know exactly what it's saying because it's from the Old English fjelg, and there's more at the word felly, F-E-L-L-Y, and I don't know what that is, and so it's probably something related to land and growing and farming and stuff like that. I don't know. And the third form of fallow is a transitive verb from the 15th century. Ooh, and here we go. This is going to be related. To plow, harrow, and break up without seeding, to destroy weeds and conserve soil moisture. And of course, the thing that you might be breaking up is the land. Let's go fallow the land. We are not going to put seeds in it. Very important. But we're going to get rid of the weeds, mix all the dirt up, keep that moisture in there, keep it healthy, and also possibly not grow anything this season. The fourth form of fallow is an adjective from the 15th century. Number one, left untilled or unsown after plowing. So yeah, that land is fallow land. The land, so it's a noun. The land is the fallow. It's the action. Let's fallow the land. And then once you've done that, then you have land that is fallow. Fallow land. Fallow dirt. Fallow soil. Maybe dirt is not the right word. They wouldn't call it dirt. They'd call it soil. So, yes, it's untilled. I guess it's unmixed up. Maybe that's possible too. You don't have to mix up the soil and it can still be fallow. There's no seeds in there. Nothing's going to grow. But you plowed it. Number two, the synonyms are dormant and inactive. Okay, so when the bear, and now there's more, but I'm just going to say, when the bear goes to hibernate, it's a fallow bear. It's hibernating, it's inactive, it's sleeping, it's dormant, not doing anything. But more specifically, this is used especially in the phrase to lie fallow, as in, at this very moment, there are probably important inventions lying fallow. And that is a quote from Harper's. I think that's a magazine, Harper's Magazine. So these important inventions are not doing anything. Nobody is using them. Maybe they're secret inventions. Inactive and dormant and fallow inventions. And I think, of course, this comes from the land. Talking about the land that is, it's not doing anything. It's just hanging out, waiting for next year, maybe. Fallow. Fallowness is a noun. Next is fallow deer. Noun from the 15th century. This is a long definition. It is a deer of variable color with palmate antlers. Leaves. There's deers don't usually have leaves. Palmate antlers in the male, and typically a yellow-brown coat spotted with white in the summer that was originally of Mediterranean regions of Europe and Asia, but has been introduced elsewhere. So clearly we know that this word fallow comes from their color, their yellowish-brown color. And maybe I should put a picture of this fallow deer on social media. The species name, there's Dama Dama, or is it Dama Dama? Dame Dame? It's just D-A-M-A twice. And then also Cervus Dama. I'm just going to say that's right. Fallow deer. Yep, that's it. Next is fall to. Two words. The second word is two, spelled T-O, not T-O-O, and not T-W-O. This is an intransitive verb from 1575, and it is to begin doing something, especially vigorously. This is often used in invitation or command. Invitation or command. Now, examples of the thing that you are doing would be working or eating. Huh, there's no example sentence. So if I have some food and I'm eating it very vigorously, I'm starting to eat it vigorously. I am falling to my food, falling to something. I don't know exactly how to use it in context. Invitation or command. Fall to your food. Okay? I don't know. I don't think people use this anymore. Our last word in this episode is the first form of the word false. F-A-L-S-E. It is an adjective from the 12th century. Number one, not genuine. As in, false documents, also false teeth. Your teeth aren't genuine. You weren't born with those teeth. They didn't grow out of your head. Your teeth fell out because you didn't take care of them, so you got false teeth. I hope I never have false teeth, although it could be kind of fun. You get to make silly faces if you don't have no teeth. 2A, intentionally untrue, as in false testimony. Ooh, if you found out that you gave a false testimony, they are going to be very mad at you and maybe make you pay a fine or go to jail. 2B, adjusted or made so as to deceive, as in false scales, also as in a trunk with a false bottom. Oh, my bottom is false. No. That's cool. That's cool. If you got like a shelf or something that has a bottom that comes out so you can hide your stuff in there, that's pretty cool. Yes, we're deceiving you. There's more than meets the eye. 2C. Intended or tending to mislead, as in a false promise. I don't like false promises. Why are you going to mislead me? You promised me that you would do that. You promised me that we would go for a walk, and then you said, meh. Number 3, not true. You know, we get true and false questions on our tests, and the opposite of true is false. Not true is false. Not false is true. We have an example. False concepts. Concepts that are not true? That concept, you can't think that concept. It's not true. It's false. 4A. Not faithful or loyal, and the synonym is treacherous, as in a false friend. Ooh, don't be friends with them. They're treacherous. They're false. They are not faithful or loyal. That's not a friend. That's not at all. You can't even use the word friend for somebody like that. 4B, lacking naturalness or sincerity, as in false sympathy. Oh, I'm so sad that you tripped and fell. Oh, no. Do I sound sincere? No, I have false sympathy, false sincerity. 5A, not essential or permanent. This is used of parts of a structure that are temporary or supplemental. Yeah, so you just put up a thing. They're like, well, we just got to throw up this thing real quick. It's temporary. Yeah, it's either not important, so you can probably get rid of it. It's a false thing, a false facade, a false door. In Hollywood, there's lots of stuff like that. Or it's just temporary. It's not permanent. It's not going to stay there forever. That's why it's false. 5B, fitting over a main part to strengthen it, protect it, or to disguise its appearance, as in a false ceiling. So you have a ceiling, but then you put a false ceiling below it to possibly strengthen it, make it stronger. Okay, that makes sense. To protect it, we want to protect the original ceiling, so we're going to put in a false ceiling to protect the original one, because it's 800 years old. Or to disguise, we don't want you to think that there's a ceiling there, so we're going to put in a false ceiling. That one might not be right. Number 6, inaccurate in pitch, as in a false note. Da 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 da. That's a false pitch. 7A, based on mistaken ideas, as in false pride. False pride. Those ideas are wrong. 7B, inconsistent with the facts, as in a false position, also as in a false sense of security. That's a phrase that we hear a lot. You thought that you were secure and safe, but no, you had a false sense of security because you saw the locks on the door, but the locks were false locks. They don't really do anything. Ha ha, we tricked you. Number 8, threateningly sudden or deceptive, as in, don't make any false moves. So, is that the same as don't make any sudden moves? Threateningly sudden or deceptive, like, whoo, whoo, whoo. Is that a false move? I don't know why. It's deceptive. It's threatened. That felt threateningly sudden, right? Woo, woo, woo. That's threateningly sudden. You're attacking me. Okay, all the definitions. The synonym is the word faithless, I guess. Falsely is an adverb, and falseness is a noun. And we're going to have a bunch more false words in the next episode. Almost all of them are related to something false, something fake, something faithless, I guess. Okay, now is the time of the word of the episode time. Today we had fall off, fall off, fallopian tube, fall out, fallow, fallow deer, fall to, and false. Maybe I'll just pick fallopian tube. For one, because it is a very important part of the anatomy that I feel like right now it doesn't hurt to highlight things like this because of the weird world that we're living in where people are trying to control what other people can do with their own bodies. And also, it's just a great word. Fallopian tube, let's take a ride down the fallopian tube. It'd be pretty funny if there was like a water slide at an amusement park called the fallopian tube. Maybe there should be a whole amusement park that's like body part related. I don't know. Maybe I took it too far. Possibly. All right. On that note, let's move on to tell you about another movie that I watched. Let's see. I believe in the previous one, we talked about the movie Oddity. Oh, crap. Opened the wrong note. And now we... Oh, yes. Here we go. We got to Scream 2. We watched this, as I mentioned a couple episodes ago. We went to the Music Box, and it was in association with the Horror House of Chicago. And the first 12 minutes, I think they said, of the movie... if you know the movie, you know, you have an idea of what this is, but it takes place in a movie theater and they're watching a movie based on the events in the Scream universe that happened in the first Scream movie. And so it's extremely meta. And because it happened in a movie theater, we were in a movie theater watching. And so they had actors acting out what the main actors are doing, and they had cameras following them. I would love to actually see this all cut together. I don't know if they did that. And so, and at the beginning, he said, the guy who came up said, I want you all to go crazier than the people who are in the movie. And if you've seen the scene, which of course you should go watch the movie, the audience is going batshit crazy for this movie. And we went 10 times more batshit crazy. And it was a whole lot of fun, and it hurt my brain to see the actors acting out while it's happening on the screen. And my niece was there, and she had never seen it before, so I think she had a little bit of a weird experience because she couldn't really hear or see anything because everybody was standing up. But we explained it to her, and she got it, and I think she had a good time. And it's also just a fun movie. Okay, that's enough of that. Now, let's say the end phrase, which is... This has been Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye.